Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of His beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on this very warm Saturday. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy to be joined by Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. He has been here before. And we have a new guest, Jeannie Metzger. She has her own company. She's worked in a local municipality for almost 20 years. But she has a garden consulting company called The Garden Jeannie, which is brilliant name, first of all. But let me let you guys talk a little bit about yourselves. Jeannie, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been in the horticulture business for about 35 years. I went to Merrimack through their horticulture program and graduated my degree. And I've done a variety of different things, but it's mostly all landscape maintenance and planting and that kind of stuff. So.
And Glenn?
Yeah, I'm the owner of a G.R. Robinson Seed and Service Company, and I, too, am a graduate of Merrimack, and my son and I teach the turf grass classes there, and I teach turf grass classes for the botanical garden and the extension service as well, and we're just a local wholesale distributor of grass seed and fertilizer and do consulting for homeowners with their lawns and lawn concerns.
Turf grass classes, who takes those?
Either people really bored or just really needing to get a degree. In the industry, there's a lot of some guys come to the golf world that want to get a degree.
I was going
to
say.
And then there's landscapers that specialize in mowing and turf grass renovations, and they're interested. So at one time at Merrimack, it was a required class because people, they felt like it was an important part of the curriculum. And then things have changed, and now there's grass classes, but it involves the other grass, if you know what I mean.
So, yeah, I know what you mean.
Like anything, things change. But sure. It's mainly people interested in the daily maintenance of turf grass would take that class.
Before I forget, I want to make sure that we give out the Garden Hotline number so you can call in and ask your question, whether it's about turf maintenance, about gardening, backyard, front yard, side yard, whatever your question is this morning. We're here to answer them. 314-436-7900. Again, the number is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Jeannie, do you have any specialty?
No, not really. I kind of do it all in where I've been working the past 20 years with the municipality. I take care of 12 different parks and a recreation center. So I do everything, you know, some grass in the parks and then all the way up to perennials, annuals, shrubs, and trees.
12 different parks?
Yeah.
Give me a couple of names.
Well, our biggest one would be Shaw Park.
Okay.
And then Oak Knoll Park. And then there's several smaller ones that are around the city.
So a couple of weeks ago, for Roaming St. Louis, the segment I do on Sunday mornings, I talked about a new book. Nene Harris and her co-author, it's called St. Louis Parks.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the story of every single park in the city of St. Louis. Not, this is not including the county. It does have some of the county parks. But the point being, do you know how many parks are in the city of St. Louis? Just the 61 square miles. It's incredible.
I'm sure.
500?
No, not that many. But 108 separate parks.
Yeah.
It's amazing that there are that many in a small area like this. Now, with the heat, and you're working on these parks, what are some things you have to think about right now?
Well, watering is a big issue right now. You want to make sure, I mean, up until this point in time, we've had a lot of rain, but now we're getting scarce on the rain, and we're getting close to the 100-degree mark. So plants are going to start suffering if we don't start having, you know, people out there watering their plants. So that's a big one. You know, it's like, the bugs are not going to be as big of an issue when it's really, really hot like we are having this next couple of days. But you could also start having some diseases start showing up that could affect some of the plants. So you kind of have to watch for things like that.
Glenn, was there something you want to mention?
Well, particularly in the turf grass. Yeah, I've had friends that haven't even turned on to irrigation until maybe a week ago. And now the amount of water needed is going to be crazy amount compared to what they have had to use. And we'll do a lot of clock setting up for folks in the next couple of weeks and try to encourage deep waterings, which is trying to water the turf grass 2 days in a row, maybe take 2 days off and then water 2 days in a row. That every other day watering or light waterings every day is the worst thing you could do for turf grasses. You want to try to get the water deep, and you don't do that by giving it light watering. You give it a heavy watering on a Monday and a Tuesday, and then let it dry out on Wednesday and Thursday, and then repeat the cycle again.
Right.
And that's how the water gets deep, and we're going to really need that. Last night, I think the low was 82 degrees.
That's going to be the same tonight, probably the next four nights.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. Yeah. So these are good things. We can continue to talk about topics throughout the next hour and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I do want to get into a phone call here because that's what the show's about, answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's say hello to Travis. Good morning, Travis.
Hi. Yeah, I had a utility company come through a couple months ago, but just this last week they came through around the edge of the road. Scraped things out and replaced some damage they had done with sod. And it's been on the ground now for about 4 or 5 days. I've been watering. Like, they left a sheet that said, hey, you know, water every day. They told me to water at night, which was a little different than I've always heard. But I wanted to kind of confirm that and then understand with the hot weather coming on, kind of how I just heard you talk a little bit about that deep watering, thought maybe that might be something to do. But if there were any tips other than just watering and the frequency of watering, especially here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Travis, the challenge is also close to the edge. So the amount of water there is even going to be magnified because of the concrete that will heat up and draw moisture away from that edge. And so you will want to water that every single day till you can't pull the sod up, which might take at least 2 weeks for it to root in. And so you'll probably want to continue that everyday watering for a minimum of 2 weeks. And then depending on how hot it is, you might have to continue that for about 3 weeks. The key will be your mowing height. If you have a push mower and you're going to mow it yourself, put that on whatever the highest setting that lawnmower has. And don't think for a second lowering the mowing height's a benefit. It's the worst decision you can make. So mow it high. You're probably going to be mowing on like 9-day cycles because our cool season grasses are going to slow down with the heat. But whatever you do, don't take the pedal off the water for the minimum of 2 to 3 weeks. And then know that even if you don't water the entire sod area, water that foot or first piece of sod that's closest to the curb, because that's what's going to dry out and die faster than the rest of the sod in the yard.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Sure. Appreciate
Good luck.
It.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Travis, with your question for Glenn. And now we have Jeannie Metzger here as well We will continue the conversation and your phone calls after a short break. The number to call for your question is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. The Garden Hotline on KMOX. Good morning. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy to be joined today by two guests who are here to answer your questions. The number to call to get in on that is 314-436-7900. We have Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company, who's been here before, and a new guest. This is her first time, Jeannie Metzger, and her company is called The Garden Jeannie. That's a cool name. I don't know, you tell me the story about that. I don't mean it seems kind of obvious, but still, just tell me the story.
Well, when I was thinking about starting a consulting, garden consulting business, I actually just did like an AI thing online. Just to give me some names of ideas and stuff. And that was one of them that popped up. And because my name is Jeannie, I just like, oh, that'll be perfect to to make it, you know. So
was that... That AI, was it coming up with names that were unique or
pretty much so. You put in like words that you want to associate with your business.
Got it.
And then it kind of generated things that would go along with it. And it gave me about 10 or 12 to look at. But this one, you know, the Garden Jeannie was just kind of a no-brainer because of my name already. So.
And it's spelled G-E-N-I?
Correct.
Okay. I did not expect you to say AI was the answer.
Yeah, I've never done that before, but I was like, oh,
it's smart.
So I just like Googled it, and then they're like, oh, you know, this is how you figure out, you know, company names and stuff. I'm like, okay, so I did
That's an interesting way to use AI. There's so many different ways to use it that people are discovering. I mean, there's obviously downsides to it, but there's a good example of generating some creative ideas. Right. Which I find to be, you know, going forward, very positive.
Right.
Yeah, it's neat.
You were talking off air about the trees that were down during the tornado.
Yes.
And how, and this is an interesting topic that I didn't think about, but so within parks, I guess, or people's yards, now there's less shade.
Correct.
Because of those trees. So with this heat, what do you have to do? How do you create more shade?
Well, I'm hoping people are planting more trees, but those trees that they're going to plant are going to be nowhere like what they were. It's going to be years, tens of years before they get back to where they used to be. So either they're going to have to do a lot of watering or put up some temporary shade structures, you know, if you can. Like, I don't want to say like an umbrella, but they do have sails or things like that that you can mount in your yard to kind of help protect. But I think ultimately, a lot of those shade gardens are going to be turned into sun gardens now because, you know, you're not going to have those trees anymore to shade it. So a lot of those plants are going to suffer big time in the next several years. So it would probably be best to start thinking about how you want to transition your garden into a new area and maybe start looking at butterfly gardens or, you know, something more appropriate for sun than like shade stuff like hostas and astilbes and things like that.
So. Well, you're working with parks. You said you work with about 12 different parks. Mm-hmm. Do you know of any of the parks or what they're doing about their situation, if they have had an impact by it?
We, in our parks where I work now, we only had one park that was really affected, and we lost about 10 big trees in the park, but it was scattered through the park. And there's not a whole lot of landscaping where those trees were. They were just out in the grassy area. So that's not as big of a deal for us in our parks. Now, I know in parts of our city, the tornado went right down the street and kind of wiped out people's landscapes and their front yard and their trees. So that's where I think people are going to have to start looking at and figuring out what they want to do in their front lawns and, you know, their landscaping and how they want to transition to that.
Okay, let's get back to the phones. 314-436-7900 is the number for you to call. Kim is up next. Good morning, Kim.
Hello. I have a question about, I had a new driveway poured yesterday, and they removed a lot of sod because they also buried my downspouts. And they put topsoil down and they seeded, but I know it's really hot and it's probably hard to grow that grass. with these temperatures coming up, and I was wondering, what do I need to do to be successful?
I think the biggest thing you need to do, Kim, is keep your expectation lows and you won't be disappointed. Seed will pop up, but with this heat, it'll be really subject to a disease called Pythium, which you may or may not even want to fool with. You'll probably fully expect whatever damage was caused now, you're probably going to have to live with all summer. But the good news is you'll have the first week of September, you can correct that, and it'll change. But, yeah, unfortunately, with this heat coinciding with the new driveway and that drainage work, it's probably not going to be what it was like last year for sure. But sure. Just know that the best time to correct that's going to be in September, and try to keep it watered. And when you do mow or string trim, don't scalp that area along this driveway, and try to keep the grass as tall as possible, because the taller the grass, the deeper the roots, and the deeper the roots, the more successful and drought resistant the plant can be. But you know, it's 84 degrees right now and going to be 99, so it's going to be, you're going to have a rough couple of weeks ahead of you, Kim, unfortunately.
I kind of Googled it a little bit, and it said something about maybe watering for 15 minutes three times a day. Did you ever hear of that?
Well, like the previous caller, Travis, anything along the edge is going to dry out quicker than the middle of the yard. And so, I would try to water first thing in the morning, 4 or 5 a.m., and then water again when the sun's down. But I would discourage you from trying to water when the sun is high, because I think you'll just burn up any potential young grass that's really vulnerable to getting fried if it's only a half inch or an inch tall.
And what about, they have that green sheet that you can put over it, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's probably a woven product with either straw or like a cellulose product. And that helps keep in moisture, and it also gives a signal to people that something's under construction and stay off of it. And so that
wouldn't hurt to have that?
No, not at all. There's also a product called pen mulch that you can sprinkle on top of the seed that'll do the same thing. But those rolled out products are really good this time of the year for keeping in moisture and helping keep people from walking on it, because that's vulnerable. You want to, whoever's mowing the grass, you don't even want to mow over the top of that for the next 3 or 4 weeks probably.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you. Right.
Good luck, Kim.
Thanks for calling in, Kim. The number for you to call is 314-436-7900. What else with this heat? What else we need to think about right now?
Well, I know on the watering side, like we were talking about with the trees being gone, so some of those irrigation systems that ran for 15 or 20 minutes last year in the shade was probably enough water. And now if that tree is gone, folks that have big trees removed where the grass looked a certain way under the shade, it's going to be vulnerable to drying out and needing a whole lot more watering. And that potential is really great. I know along Forest Park, whatever their watering schedule was along Lindell, is probably going to change dramatically because of the trees being gone there. So I'm kind of looking forward. I'm playing golf there tomorrow, so I can't wait to see what condition the course is in and see what their changes there. Because when I drove down Lindell the other day, even the hanging branches in the trees, with the wind storms, you got to really be concerned with the hanging branches and the trees that need to be come down too. I'm sure park districts across the city are aware of hanging branches too. So, but the irrigation is going to change dramatically for some of these lawn areas.
So are you playing on the course that's like the northwest corner? History Museum or the other one?
No, we'll be the other one.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because that one really got, that's the one that really got hit.
Yeah.
There were 47,000 trees in Forest Park before the tornado. And I don't know how many were lost. I have not gotten a count, but
I got a friend at Forest Park forever, and I know at one time he thought they lost over 4,000 trees.
From the tornado?
From the tornado. Well, and that was like a week into it, and I thought they really haven't had any evaluation yet.
Yeah.
They're probably they're less than 5,000 trees.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Because even if a tree split, it has to come down because it's in danger of coming down later. And, they have to be aware of the damaged trees that aren't down yet, but would come down soon.
Yeah. Well, I know in one of our parks, we got the hazard trees taken out that are issues with, But now we're evaluating the other trees because some of them like had big branches that fell off, and now so they're still standing, but they definitely need to be cleaned up and just gone through and either taken down or made look like they're not big stumps out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Jeannie and Glenn are answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Up next, let's say hello to Tom. Good morning, Tom. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, good morning. This question is not about trees, but I have a patch of cacti, and they're flat plants. The plants are about as large as a lady's hand, flat, and they just finished blooming beautiful yellow flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I've folks that would like a start of those. I doubt if it's a very good time to transplant now with the heat coming up, but when's a good time to transplant those? And they do have some roots. Do you need to take very much soil with them, or will they just root, if you put them in work soil? So
yeah,
answer that. I appreciate it.
You have a variety that I'm pretty sure what you're describing is prickly pear cactus, which is native here to Missouri. We have them in glades throughout the state. But they don't really root off of, like, I mean, they sprawl kind of out. And you can pick some of the sprawlers and kind of dig them up a little bit. But you can also just take, like, one of those flat pieces, the basically like the leaf of it, and take that and just cut it off the plant and put it in some soil, and that will root in also. And you don't have to wait till, you know, a particular time. You could do that now. Just make sure you keep it kind of watered and put it in a pot, or where if you're planting back in the ground somewhere else, you're just going to make sure that it's going to stay watered so it will develop those roots out from that cut end. They're kind of a unique plant that not a lot of them will do that kind of stuff, but because they like the heat and they do well in the heat, that's, you know, probably okay. I wouldn't do it maybe when it's like 100, but if we're down into the low 90s or 80s, you know, in the next couple of weeks, that would probably be okay to do. Just like I said, make sure you keep it kind of watered a little bit.
Good. And should I mix in any sand, or will they do fine, in just regular soil?
I usually like to mix in some sand in the soil. Our soils here are really heavy in clay, even organic matter, and they're used to more of a rocky soil. So if you can mix in some clay or something to help with that soil, keeping it kind of looser and aerated a little more, it would help with that.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. It's such a good Father's Day present to go out and see them blooming so nicely. So I enjoy them much and want to share them with others. So thank you and have a good day.
You too. Yeah,
great.
Thanks.
Time.
Thank you for calling in at 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline, and we'll continue with your questions in just a moment on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Line on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy to be joined today by Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company and also Jeannie Metzger. She has her own company called The Garden Jeannie, and they're here to answer your questions about your lawn, about trees, plants, anything that is on your mind this morning. And the number to reach us is 314-436-7900. Let's say hello to Kim. Good morning, Kim.
Hello. I was calling. I have a curb garden that I've always planted zinnias in because it's not an area that I can really mow. And they've been successful there for years. But this particular time, I can't get them to go more than an inch up. They've been very stunted. I do use quality seeds like Burpee and other ones like that. And like I said, I've always had success with them. We have had some construction in the street for water pipe replacement. And there's possible, I guess, that some chemicals may have gotten to the bed. I don't know. My question is, should I take these little short ones that have been in there for like 3 weeks and aren't growing more than an inch out and put new dirt in there or start over or just call it a year? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard at this time to figure that out. I know zinnias planted from seed, if you planted them earlier, like in May, they're probably just starting to come around because we've been so wet, and zinnias do not like it that wet, that, you know, the soil is just, and we've been cooler, and it, and they're more of a drier, not like drought tolerant, but they do like water, but they don't like overabundance of water. So I would probably let them stay and try to, you know, nurse them along for the next couple of weeks. They probably, you know, we're getting warmer. They'll probably start coming out of that and start growing. But you might pick up some other plants if you want something in there with them. Maybe pick up something that's already established from a garden center that would take some sun and take a little bit of, you know, not watering, you know, there's lots of other plants that you can pick from there, like maybe some begonias or some, you know, vinca or something, and mix it in with that. And they'll be good to kind of give you some color for this year. You know, zinnias usually do well, but this year was kind of a weird year for our spring. So it's been kind of hard to get plants to grow from seed and get them started properly, you know, unless you're in a controlled greenhouse type situation.
I guess the thing is that I did plant the seeds in another section, and those are okay. And those are growing and actually have buds on them. And these were in this section on the far end, were planted at the same time, but like I said, they just are not, they're not doing it. So it's like, I feel like there might be some chemicals or something that stunted them, and that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I need to take them out, but I'm wondering, do I amend the soil at this point, or what do you suggest?
You know, I don't know if I would want to take anything out and try something totally new now. I would, you know, like I said, just try to get something that's already established and put it in there and let it, you know, try to grow with those. And then maybe in the fall when you take out those plants, then I would amend the soil with some kind of either peat or leaf compost or some kind of, you know, organic matter to help it out in there. And, you know, if you're concerned that there is some kind of chemical or something there, you could always get a soil test. And I know Glenn does soil tests that you can bring a sample and they'll send it off and they'll get an analysis of what is going on with the soil and see if, you know, there's something there that shouldn't be there or something that you need to add. Maybe the nutrition is not correct in that spot, you know, all of a sudden. So, you know, you could, but I don't know if I would worry about it right now. I would wait until the fall and do it then. Yeah.
So the sun, the vincas would tolerate early morning sun till about 11 or 12 in that spot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They as long as they get about 4 to 6 hours of sun a day, they would be really happy.
Okay. And is the information regarding the soil sampling available online, or how do I find out how to do that?
You could give me a call, Kim, and I can walk you through that.
Yeah. Okay. On this number?
That would be 314-432-0880.
0880. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
That is Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Jeannie Metzger is also here. She is the Garden Genie, and she's answering your questions along with Glenn this morning at 314-436-7900. Up next, we say hello to Gloria. Good morning, Gloria.
I'm calling from Springfield, Illinois. I had heard that one is not supposed to put mulch down with herbs. How do you handle herbs? I have them in pots, so that's no problem. But do I feed it? Do I not feed it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would go ahead and give it some kind of fertilizer. You know, there's lots of different ones out there. There's organics. There's, you know, more like Osmocote that are a long-term type fertilizer. Plants do need some kind of nutrition to have to grow for the whole season and flower and do their thing. And, you know, when you're cutting herbs back all the time, it helps them to have something to help regenerate their, you know, selves. I don't know. In pots, I wouldn't put any mulch on them. You could put some, like, peat moss or, you know, leaf mulch or something on the top of them to keep them, help keep that soil from drying out too much. But it in the ground, I don't usually use mulch around my annuals and my herbs and stuff. You can usually use, like if it's a vegetable garden, you can put hay down or, you know, some straw down to keep it from helping with the weeds. You know, that kind of stuff works really well to keep that down. And the same with the herbs. You could put some straw or some leaf mulch around the top to keep them from, you know, drying out too much.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. The big issue for me was the whether or not to feed it. Of course, they said, well, if you feed it, the chemicals from the fertilizer gets in the plant itself. I didn't think that was true, but I thought I'd call and find out.
Yeah, no, I don't think you have to worry about that, you know, especially if you're worried about something like that, you could go more into an organic fertilizer, okay. Yeah. And that would help it.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in this morning. 314-436-7900. Glenn, did you have something?
No, I would I'm with Jeannie on this. Yeah, you don't need a whole lot of mulch and pot situations. Usually they're watered often enough and small enough weeds, you can just hand pick the weeds and not worry about any chemicals in there.
Okay, well, we're going to continue answering your questions at 314-436-7900. Glenn and Jeannie taking your calls this morning on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX. Today, we have a couple of guests answering your questions. The number to call to ask yours, 314-436-7900. Glenn Kramer is with Robinson Seed Company. He's been here before. And Jeannie Metzger, brand new to the Garden Hotline. She has a garden consulting company called The Garden Genie, and that is G-E-N-I. All right, let's continue with the phone calls. Up next, we have Barb. You're on the Garden Hotline. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Barb.
Two questions. Can you repot Christmas cactus at this point? The dirt in it is hard, and I feel like I need to repot them. They're a couple years old.
You know, I'm not a totally up on Christmas cactus, but I would say I'd have to probably do a little research, but I would say, you know, if the soil is hard, you could probably go ahead and repot it now and get it growing so that it would be set for the season next year when you want it to bloom and stuff. So I think you could go ahead and do that now and give it some fresh soil and amend the soil and give it some, you know, a nice fertilizer to help it out with that.
Yeah, they bloom off and on right now all okay. During the year. Mm-hmm. They're confused. Now you made me forget what the other issue was that I was going to ask you about. Can you trim Sharon?
Rosa Sheeran?
Yes. Lost it. Yes, can you trim those or can't do it till right before the winter sets in?
Well, you don't really want to trim any bushes outside in the fall. Usually I tell people once mid-September or mid-August to early September hits, you don't want to trim any more bushes because you don't want them to have fresh growth when it goes into the winter. Because when you trim things, it's going to promote that it would grow. You know, it's like a signal and like, oh, I have to regenerate. So it's going to start growing new shoots on it. So you don't want to do that in the fall. My suggestion would be to wait and do it after the leaves all fall off in the winter. You can reduce it down then, you know, and you can do that anytime until till it starts leafing out in the spring. You can reduce it down. I wouldn't do it on a day that they're freezing cold, you know, temperatures or things like that, because you don't want to send the plant into too much shock. But, you know, when we have some mild days in the fall, you know, you could...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You could reduce it then and trim it back then, and you should still have a fair amount of flowers on it next year.
Is it too late to trim lilac and snowball bushes?
It's getting to that point where it's almost too late right now. You should have trimmed them as soon as they were done flowering in late May.
Yeah, I know. I just can't find anybody to do it.
You know, if your only time is now to trim it, you can trim it. Just know that you'll be reduced on your flowers next year.
No. Okay.
It's not necessarily going to hurt the plant. It just, you're cutting off its flower buds for next year. So.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Up next, we say hello to Jean. Jean, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, I have a question about my monkey grass or liriope. Mm-hmm. It was professionally planted about 5 or 6 years ago and has done very well. It is a border along a concrete walkway at the front of my house. It gets full sun in the afternoon. Last year, there was a patch of it, probably about 12 to 16 inches long. It just kind of slowly died off. It got yellow, then it got brown, then basically there was just nothing there. Nothing came back in that same spot this summer or spring. So I divided a couple of existing plants further down the line and put them there. Same thing happened. And now it's kind of spreading, like some of the plants that are adjacent to it are kind of doing the same thing. And I fear that I'm going to lose that entire bed of liriope, which is probably about, I'm guessing maybe 8 to 10 feet long, 12 feet long, something like that. I took a picture and a video and went to a local garden center and they were stumped. I'm like, is it a fungus? You know, and they couldn't tell me. Do you have any ideas? I've contemplated buying some new plants, but she kind of discouraged that, saying, well, if you don't know what's killing them, you know, yeah, you might have the same problem, but I fear I'm going to lose the whole bed. So any ideas on what it might be and what I could do?
Have you seen any activity of like critters, like voles or field mice or anything in that area?
No. I have had moles in my backyard, which thus far I have successfully eradicated. There are some mice around the base of the foundation of the house, but I have professional traps out for those. So, no, I haven't seen any kind of critters.
And you take care of this landscape yourself, or is there a company that comes in and does it for
you? No, I take care of it myself. And when it was first planted, maybe a year or two in, we had a season where it was, you know, really hot and dry, and I was aggressively watering, and I was told, stop it. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff, you know, and it was at a, you know, local garden center, and they're like, look at ours. Look at how healthy it looks. We never water ours. So I'm like, okay. So no, I really don't. I don't, you know, water it any more than beyond the water that it's been getting.
Yeah. I would, you know, dig up some of that dirt in that area where you can't get it to grow. See if you see any, like, insects or grubs or anything like that, maybe in the soil that could be eating the roots of the plant, and see if there's anything there that you can notice. Other than that,
I'm gonna say liriope is usually pretty tough.
Yeah, usually
I haven't
it's
heard of
it's
it
pretty,
dying back like that.
Yeah, it's usually
Now I don't cut it back in the wintertime. I have neighbors that they, you know, cut it back. I think that one guy runs a lawnmower over his. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. You know, it just kind of, you know how it is. It just dies off, and it's kind of this dried stuff that lays there all winter long, and in the summer, or excuse me, in the spring, it's like magic. All of a sudden, the green sprouts start coming through, and boom, it's there. So it's really, you know, it is absolutely no maintenance. And like I said, I haven't done anything to it that I can, you know, that I can account for why this is happening.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell, you know, why certain parts of a bed don't perform. Again, you maybe, you know, if you're concerned about it, maybe get a sampling of that and have it sent in to the lab and get a soil test on it done again. And, and, you know, maybe they'll come back and say, oh, you've got something bad here that you need to do.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Gene. We appreciate it. We're going to continue with your phone calls. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to get in for the second hour of the Garden Hotline on KMOX.
Your service. It's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning. We have two guests answering your questions today. One has been here before, Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Another is new. Her name is Jeannie Metzger. She has a company called The Garden Genie. Before we get back to your phone calls at 314-436-7900, we're in hour number two of the show. Jeannie, tell us a little bit about yourself again.
I'm a horticulturist. I've been in the business for about 35 years. I went through Merrimack Community College to get my horticulture degree, and I've done a variety of jobs. The latest one that I've done is I've worked for a local municipality for almost 20 years, and I'm getting ready to retire, and now I've decided to do a garden consulting company called The Garden Genie.
And that's G-E-N-I.
Correct.
What is a garden consulting company versus, like, say, a landscaping company?
So a garden consulting company would be someone that would, like, work with people who want to do DIY it themselves, you know, but they don't know where to start. So I could come to their house and, you know, give them advice on what to plant or give them a plan on, you know, if they want to do a landscape. But they, you know, it's more geared towards people who would want to do the work themselves.
That makes sense. Glenn, you want to remind us about your company?
Yeah, I'm the owner of G.R. Robinson Seed and Service Company. We're a local wholesale distributor of grass seed, fertilizer, and chemicals to retail centers, golf courses, and landscapers. And we also, my son and I both teach classes at Merrimack and at the botanical gardens, and mainly helping promote the advantages of turf grass and how to grow grass smartly.
That's a good way. Yeah. I like that. Let's get back to the phone calls. 314-436-7900. That's the number for you to call and ask your question. Michael's up next. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller to your show, actually, so it's a distinct honor. Thank you so much for always imparting your wisdom every week and giving us a lot of helpful information.
Thanks for joining us.
So, absolutely. And so my question today was primarily about spruces. So I was going to ask about spruce trees. First of all, something called needle cast, where it's kind of like a fungal disease for spruce trees. How would you, you know, primarily prevent that? And are certain spruce trees, you know, certain species of it more kind of prone to being inundated with that sort of disease?
Yeah, needle cast is a disease that all spruces can get, and there's not a whole lot you can do to prevent it, because it's one of those things that if the environmental conditions are correct, then it's going to happen at that time. And there are some chemicals that you can put out to help with that and slow it and, or, you know, get it, help the tree get better. There's not really any that really will not get it. You know, it just, it's just an environmental disease that can affect them. So.
And what I know about needle cast is you don't really ever cure it. All you do is keep it at bay,
right.
But needle cast usually wins out, and eventually, replacement of the spruce is pretty much inevitable once it gets that disease, my opinion.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And also, I was going to ask real quick, when the needles fall off the tree, do they grow back generally or no?
No. If they're falling off, then just prune it back to where you have some green wood, but it will never come back from that.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. That really was very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Michael. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900 is the garden hotline. So we talked a little bit about the trees down from the tornado and how that's creating situations where you maybe had shade gardens, but now they're might have to be sun gardens.
Correct.
Are there certain plants that you would put in that situation that you didn't have before?
You could go into, you know, a lot of, if it's a perennial area, you know, you could go into more like, you know, your coneflowers and your rudbeckias and salvias and those kind of things. And those are great for pollinators in our neighborhoods. We need to plant things that are more native and are native ours, just to get plants for our pollinators, because they're suffering really bad and they need that extra help with those. So, you know, if they go to a garden center and say, I want to get some shade, some sun plants, most people would be able to help them with that kind of stuff.
I think it opens up an opportunity for wildflowers, too, because wildflowers, in my opinion, don't do great in the shade, but full sun, they'll really proliferate.
Yeah,
and those are attractive to look at.
You bet. Mm-hmm.
So that's good. We also mentioned the other topic that we talked about off-air that we haven't really addressed is weed control. Glenn, you said you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, we've been inundated with weed post-emergent non-selective herbicides lately because the water, everything is healthy, but now this heat, you know, weeds are opportunistic and they thrive in heat and they thrive when it's really hot. So there's a whole bunch of summer perennials and annuals that we haven't seen yet that will turn on here this week. So if you've been weed-free or relatively weed-free lately, be thankful, but know that the pressure of the summer perennials and annuals is really ramping up with this heat. So you'll be either hand pulling, which is a good integrated pest management practice, or spot spraying with non-selective herbicides to get rid of them.
Yeah. Well, you can't spend too much time in the garden on a day like this when it's 100 degrees.
You will be efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, obviously, you have to be careful about that. Legitimately, so
you bet. Yeah,
something to consider.
It's always easier to pull weeds after a good rain. And it doesn't look like we're going to get that for a while.
No.
So, yeah.
Taking your calls at 314-436-7900. Let's say hello to Craig. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning.
Hi, Craig.
I've got Bermuda that's taking over my front yard, and I'm wondering how I get rid of that Bermuda grass.
Well, Craig, I love this question because it's my favorite joke. It's really easy to get rid of Bermuda. You just move. You just buy a new house and go to a condo.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. So, yeah, I guess so. I like the fescue, you know, but that Bermuda just kind of taken over everything. I don't know if I got to cut it all up or can you kill it off? Or
we jokingly call it the king because it will thrive in full sun. But there's a new chemical on the market, not new, but relatively new to the market called Pylex, P-Y-L-E-X. And there are companies that will come out and spray it, but it's never one spray. It's a couple of sprays, and then you aerate and overseed that area with a cool season grass, and then probably spray that product again in the spring. But Pylex is a non-selective way to control your Bermuda. I probably wouldn't start that till about August 1st, that process. Just live with it for the rest of the summer, but know that you can control your Bermuda much more efficiently than the old fusilades or triclopyrs in the past that tend to burn up all of the good grass as well. This Pylex product is a real game changer, and it will, it's not going to be cheap, and you have to be patient. It's going to take a while, but it by far shows the best progress in the golf and in the landscape business. It's really a game changer.
Yeah. Is that a do-it-yourself, or you have to be licensed to use that?
It's expensive. Sure, you can do it yourself, but, you know, if you have Bermuda, maybe have some friends that have Bermuda, you might become their new best friend and help them get rid of their Bermuda as well, because the smallest bottle is 4 ounces and it covers 4 acres. So you're probably better off letting a company do it.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Craig.
Thanks for calling in, Craig. The number is 314-436-7900. We'll continue with your phone calls in just a minute with Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company and also Jeannie Metzger, who has a garden consulting company called The Garden Genie. That's G-E-N-I. We'll take more of your phone calls as we continue on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX. Into the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. Glad to be joined by two people today answering your questions. The Garden Hotline number, 314-436-7900. Ask us whatever is on your mind in terms of your garden, your yard, trees, any issues you are having right now. We have two people who can answer those questions, different specialties too as well. Glenn Kramer is with his company Robinson Seed, teaches turf classes, and Jeannie Metzger, she has her own garden consulting company called The Garden Genie. That's G-E-N-I. And we are here to answer your questions. 314-436-7900. Let's talk a little bit about irrigation since we're dealing with this heat wave that's really starting today and continuing for the next several days. Just watering right now, how do you approach it?
On the turf side, I'm suggesting watering 2 days in a row and then taking 2 days off and then watering 2 days in a row. And I have a lot of friends that misconstrue that with their shrubs. And I try to educate them that the turf grass plant's roots are anywhere 4 to 6 inches deep. But if you have a mature azalea or a perennial bed, you can probably water that once a week or twice a month and be okay. So know that it's a nighttime temperature that evapotranspirates the soil out of the
water. Wait, what was that word? What was that word?
Evapotranspiration.
Is that a real word?
That's a real word.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's moisture lost at night from my belief of it anyway. Yeah. But when it's hot like this and it's 80 at night, you know, the cool season plant doesn't transpire or it doesn't respire. It drying out all the time. So it needs to be water replaced. And you know, your annuals are going to start to need some water, too.
Yeah, yeah. I would water your annuals probably if they're in the ground every other day, you know, and because they are very short-rooted plants, you know, they're not very deep, most of them. I would, you know, at least 10, 15 minutes at least when it's hot like this on the annual beds.
Yeah, and anything in a pot needs to be watered
every day.
Especially on a windy day
Like
today. Yeah,
sometimes it'll dry out. Depending on how small the pot is, you might have to hit it twice a day in the morning and the evening.
Well, AI says that evapotranspiration is the process where water moves from the Earth's surface to the atmosphere as vapor.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. I told you it was a real word.
It's a real word. Okay, let's continue with the phone calls. Up next, we have Larry. Good morning, Larry. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. I've got a question. I've got primarily fescue turf grass, and out and along the sidewalk, the street where they with the dog walkers where they walk their dogs, they it seems like I get a lot of brown spots from the urination from the dogs. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, you know, I'll have, you know, maybe six brown spots in my green grass along the sidewalk out there. Is there anything I can do to, is there any quick remedy to repair those spots or what?
To be real, no. When it's this hot, the ammonium and dog urine burns the grass. When it's cool out, it'll actually cause a yard gnome or cause the grass to grow. You can take a handful of gypsum and put it in those burn spots, and it'll help leach out the salt from the dog urine, but it won't repair that in this heat.
So you can't seeding it, or it kills the roots?
Yeah, it's really the ammonium is just burning off the leaves of the grass. It may or may not kill the roots, depending on the size of the dog and the amount of waste put in the soil, but otherwise, if it bothers you, there are green paints that you can at least spot spray those areas, and they'll self-repair in September, or you can aerate and overseed those areas in September. But otherwise, putting out gypsum will at least leach the salts out of the soil. And like I said, when it's 100 degrees and a dog does what a dog does, there's nothing that's going to fix that quickly, Larry, unfortunately. It's just... You know, I would be pleased to know that your dogs find your yard complimentary enough to use it as a lavatory.
Well, they do. There's unfortunately,
there's a silver lining everywhere. You just got to look real hard sometimes.
Well, I'm looking hard, but I'm not seeing it. But sure. But I've got another question. I've got primarily fescue grass, and then in the springtime, I get this. It's a lighter green in color grass, and it seems to not have a real root base to it, because in the fall, then it dies out in the fall, kind of patchy, and then if I rake it, it comes up in, you know, like a sod chunks, kind of, so to speak. It doesn't bring the dirt up. It's more lays on the surface, and then in the fall, it, you know, late summer and fall, it starts dying out, and then I got, you know, big brown spots, and then I rake it up every year and reseed it, and it just seems like it's ongoing. I can't seem to get rid of this.
It could be poania or annual bluegrass that germinates lime green in the spring. I don't know what to pull up in your description, but it could happen. But there are herbicides, selective herbicides, that you can spray that with both in the spring or in the fall, and helps control that phenomenon of the annual bluegrass. And that's actually pretty common. It comes in most of the time in seed or sometimes in the topsoil, but it's usually pretty easy to control with one or two applications of a selective herbicide.
Now, it seems to take over, and it kills the fescue seed that I'm trying to, you know, the fescue lawn that I'm trying, it seems to smother that out. You know, it seems more in the spring and summer, and then in the fall, it just, you know, it comes up in round chunks. You know,
I would encourage you to take a picture of that or bring a sample into your local garden center or even to my office when it's actively growing, because it sounds like one thing and it doesn't sound like something all in the same conversation.
Okay.
So let's double check and make sure we got our T's crossed and make sure it's
okay. All right.
About the right thing. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck, Larry.
Thank you, Larry, for calling in to 314-436-7900. Up next, we actually have another Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good
morning,
Larry.
I have a couple questions for you. One is I have a groundhog problem. I don't know if you can give me any suggestions. I've tried, you know, corn, stuff down the hole, but they just keep coming back. I don't know. Is there some kind of, scent or something that I should put by there? Or, I mean, I have a dog, but, you know, the dog doesn't mess with them, and doesn't scare them off either. So I don't know. And they've had young ones. So.
Any thoughts?
What little I know about it, you're probably going to have to get a service to come out and trap them.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be my advice because if the dog doesn't scare them away and they're having babies, they are comfortable and there's a food source and they feel safe enough to have babies there. They're not going to go away with wishful thinking or prayers. You're going to have to do something mechanical to get rid of them.
Probably. Yeah. I would say that too.
Yeah.
I have another question for you.
Yeah.
My wife swears... This is settling a debate. She swears the water from our dehumidifier helps her plants grow. And I don't see that really is a benefit, but I was just curious to get your opinion on it.
Well, rule of my house is my wife is always right, so I would not argue with that, Larry. Just roll with it, man. Pick your battles, but that's not one of them.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't know what a dehumidifier
No scientific evidence here.
Is your water from your dehumidifier pumped outside, or is it in
the
house?
No, it's retained in a bucket.
Yeah. Huh.
So what you're saying is then I can go ahead and get the motorcycle?
Good luck with that.
When I teach my class, I have to remind people I'm a horticulturalist, not a marriage counselor. So,
exactly.
But if she says it works, Larry, don't discourage it.
That's a good point.
Right. So much.
Thanks for calling in. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Let's take another call here. Sandy, good morning. You're on with Jeannie and Glenn.
Hi, is it my turn?
Yep. Hi, Sandy.
It is.
Hi. I have a grass question. Periodically, I have a problem with browning of the grass. And starting a few years ago, I treat it several times a year. This year, I treated it in April. And then I treated it again about a week ago or so. We've had so much rain. And I figured that's what's causing it, but I just wanted confirmation that what I did was okay and that maybe I should do it again the beginning of July, maybe once a month during the growing season to prevent my grass from browning out in spots.
Yeah, more than likely, Sandy, your experience is something called brown patch, maybe a dollar spot. Those are real common diseases in cool season grasses, and your fungicide products usually last anywhere from 14 to 28 days, and you just have to read the label to figure out how much active ingredient you need to apply to get the maximum benefit of the protection. And so those fungal spores are everywhere. You can't do anything about that. All you can do is work with the weather, and if you start a fungicide program, you do have to put them on every 25 to 28 days if you're at the high rate. And know that you might have to buy two different chemistries or rotate chemistry so that you don't build up resistance with that fungicide. So I often encourage people to make sure they're doing all the other cultural practices properly before they buy fungicides. I think you get more bang for your buck by aerating and overseeding and diversifying the stand of cool season grasses. Fungicides can be expensive, and sometimes they don't always work as well as we'd like them to, and a lot of it has to do with Mother Nature, and you just have to evaluate, you know, what your budget is and what your level of acceptance of what your lawn looks like. It's not uncommon for a cool season lawn to not look the best in July and August when it's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
100 degrees out, but know that the cool weather in September, it'll bounce right back.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck, Sandy.
Thanks for calling in, Sandy. The number is 314-436-7900. And we will continue your phone calls. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed Company, as well as Jeannie Metzger. Her company is called The Garden Jeannie. Your questions continue. 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We have two people taking your questions this morning. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed, and also Jeannie Metzger from a consulting company called The Garden Jeannie, and that's spelled G-E-N-I. 314-436-7900, the number. Up next, let's say hello to Mary. Good morning, Mary. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, sir. I have a tree question. What can I do for a cypress tree that's been skinned and scraped? It's about a third of the way around the trunk and as high as 2 feet up in some places.
Yeah, right. Trees have a remarkable ability to reheal themselves. So I don't think I would do anything on it and just let it kind of form back in, and it'll heal with some wood scarring around it and wood, you know, and it should heal itself back up, but it's going to take a number of years. So we don't recommend like putting paint on it anymore or taping it or anything. The trees take care of themselves mostly like that. So, you know, if it's not bad enough, if it's, you know, not circumventing the whole tree trunk, then I wouldn't worry about it and just let it go.
Yeah, they're pretty hardy.
Yeah.
Good luck, Mary.
Thanks for calling in. 314-436-7900. Next, we have Doug. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, I had a question for you guys. I got these anthills that come up in my yard, and I've been told that I should probably leave them alone. They don't seem to bother nothing, but they're getting big. Will they harm the yard, or should I just let them go?
What was it again that comes up?
Ant hills. They're like little hills, and they're just full of ants.
We have quite a few of those in our backyard over the last couple of weeks, right, between the combination of the moisture and now the heat, and they were right along the edge of our patio. And yeah, they bothered my wife a little bit, but I just stepped on them and drug my foot over them, and they're gone now, Doug. They're not going to hurt your lawn or your bushes or anything. They're just more of a visual nuisance, right, more than anything.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That was about it. Thanks for your answer.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have Phil. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. I have two questions. One, I have a large fringe tree where the lower branches hang out pretty far. Could I remove those branches this time of year?
You know, I really, unless it's in the way of something that is you need to get to and it's too big for right now, I would wait until the leaves fall off and trim it over the winter if you can. It's better for and healthier for the tree to do major pruning later in the season, you know, like after the leaves fall off.
Okay. Thank you. I have a second question about a small a peach tree. The leaves are turning yellow with black spots. I have the Nemo oil spray, but it says do not spray if the temperature is 90.
Right.
Can I spray it? Especially early morning, it's around 80 or less than 80, where it has time to soak in before the temperature gets near 100?
No, I would wait on holding off on spraying any chemicals when it's this hot. You know, I'd follow the label and spray it later on, you know, when it's, you know, more temperature appropriate.
Especially we'll oil-based chemicals are really dangerous in this heat.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah,
good luck, Phil.
Thanks, Phil. Let's see who's next in line. Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Hey, I got a fescue lawn, and last year I started getting Bermuda grass in it. So I bought a herbicide called Ornimac 170, and that got rid of the Bermuda grass. And then I worked the ground up and put grass seed down, but nothing's coming up. Does this herbicide stay in the ground for quite a while?
My guess is Ornimac or Fusilade will stick in the ground for at least 2 or 3 weeks after applying it, because it certainly didn't kill the Bermuda grass quickly. And my guess is you applied it more than once. You know, if you didn't, you're setting history in Bermuda grass removal. And so, yeah, I would think that if you wait at least 2 to 3 weeks after applying that, you should get some grass to grow. But if you haven't done it now, you would just wait. My opinion would be to wait till September and just fertilize it with some organic fertilizer, maybe between now and September 1st, and just plan on working the soil and aerating and seeding again, the first week of September with your tall fescue, and you should be okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Bob. Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jim. You're next on the Garden Hotline with Glenn and Jeannie.
Yes, thank you. Enjoy your program. My question is regarding my oak tree and the oak trees in the neighborhood. They seem to be a lot of branches seem to be falling off, small branches chewed by squirrels or bugs. Which is it?
Yeah. Do the oak trees have the a growth called a gall on the ends of them right now? A lot of the oak trees are having that issue.
Yes, we do have some galls, but many of the branches don't include a gall. And I noticed that the galls that are on the ground are chewed.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, they're chewing up the getting inside. The gall is from a parasitic wasp, and it lays its eggs in there, and then it injects a hormone, and it makes that swelling and makes the gall, and it will eventually break off that branch and swell up and cut off the nutrients to the end of the branch, and then they fall off. But if you're seeing branches that aren't with the gall on it, that it is just squirrels usually chewing on the ends of the branch. And someone once told me that they're sharpening their teeth for when they need to get into their nuts. So they're chewing on the wood just to sharpen their teeth up. And, you know, they just chew on the ends and then the leaf falls off. There's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Okay. Yeah, they started chewing on our aluminum furniture.
Yeah. In the parks that I work in, we have a lot of that plastic recycled material, you know, like benches and picnic tables, and they just chew through those constantly.
Do they? They chew on those too?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking at alternatives, and I thought maybe the plastic might be a way to go. But,
yeah,
okay.
No, they like that too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in. Those squirrels are so clever.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were sharpening their teeth.
My backyard, I clean up sticks every other day or so.
Yeah.
We got tons of squirrels in our oak trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's Glenn Kramer, also Jeannie Metzger. They are answering your questions today on the Garden Hotline. The number to call for the last segment, last chance, here it comes, 314-436-7900, 1041 FM, KMOX. We are back. Jeannie and Glenn answering your questions this morning. Last chance right now. We might be able to get a couple more in. 314-436-7900. Let's go to Eunice. Good morning. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a hibiscus plant. This is the first time I've had one. It's one of those that stand about, 3.5-4 feet tall. It has the twisted stems. And my question is, it gets so many yellow leaves, and some of the other leaves on it have kind of a gray color to them. I wonder what I need to do.
Is this planted out in your landscape?
Well, it's not planted. It's out on my patio in a pot.
In a pot. It probably needs more water and maybe a little bit of fertilization with it. You know, in a plant, especially a big one like that, in a pot, really sucks up the water a lot. So you're probably needing to water it more. And then I would also look at some kind of, you know, fertilizer to put with it to help give it some nutrition. It sounds like it's suffering a little bit from lack of nutrition and water.
I did put some of the, it's a Proven Winners dry fertilizer that you mix with water. I've done that one time, so yeah. I guess I need to do that more often.
Yeah, I would. You know, if it's like a fertilizer that you mix with water, like similar to what you would like a Miracle-Gro type product, you could probably do that up to every 2 to 3 weeks, and it would be beneficial for the plant.
Okay, and I have it standing where it gets sun, because I understood that's what it needs. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you could even, if you wanted to, put it in maybe a little afternoon shade, like after 1 or 2 o'clock, if it got some shade, that would help it out too, and not have it, you know, lose so much water.
Okay, it does get some shade. And another thing, it stands next to a little privacy fence, and there's a light on a fountain that light is on most of the night, and it gets some of that light. Do you think it should not get that it should get more darkness?
I think it's fine. You know, we have a lot of lights around the city.
Okay.
You know, that's not really going to bother the plants that much.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day, Eunice.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Keith. Keith, you're up next. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. I've got a thing that I did with Bermuda grass, and I have an area about the half the size of a baseball diamond, and I had Bermuda grass in it, and I talked to this guy at length that worked at Monsanto, and I said, how can I get rid of this? And he says, wait until late August, and then apply Roundup to the area, and then apply 12-12 fertilizer and water the heck out of it. And then it'll come back a little bit, and then hit it again with Roundup, and then 12-12, and then water it down really good. And by that time, it should be pretty dead. At that point, burn it off and get as much as the cotyledons, that's the runners on it, get as much as that you can, and then go ahead and take a shop vac and vacuum all those leftover cotyledons so you have just bare dirt. And then plant it by end of September and water it. And it came up by Thanksgiving. It was beautiful. And then 2 years later, the Bermuda grass came back. But the fescue kind of overran it. So I really don't have too much Bermuda grass in that area. But it's almost impossible to get rid of it through all those steps.
Yeah, that's a non-selective way of controlling Bermuda grass, Keith, and it's just personal choice. So you want to go with a non-selective or a selective product like the Pilex that we talked about earlier. But with Pilex selectively is a whole lot less work than what you just described. That's for
but
sure.
The other way I was told is just to take 6 inches off the top and
no.
put fresh dirt in, but they say that doesn't work
you're
all the time
yourself.
Either.
Yeah, that's not good information.
Yeah.
12 inches maybe, but not 6.
Yeah. Wow, and the other guy said, just don't look down, look up.
There you go. That sounds pretty good.
All right, thanks for calling in, Keith. We have time for one or two more calls. Patty, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a problem with some type of snakes. I had an air conditioning come out, an air conditioner guy that I've used for years, and he pinged over my 4 feet boxwood because a snake was so big it scared him to death. And I need to understand, what can I do in my landscape, because I do have rock and ivy and a lot of shrubbery, to not harm other animals, but to deter the snakes.
Snakes. Well, I've been trying this product at my home because I back up to woods and we have snakes that come on my property and we don't really want them around. I mean, I know snakes are great. They eat a lot of bugs and stuff, but when somebody has a phobia of snakes, you don't want to, you know, incur have snakes come on. So there's a product that I've been using. It's a more natural product. I don't know if anybody carries it around here. I ordered it online. It's called Snake Away. It's got like a minty kind of scent to it, and it's a granular, and I just sprinkle it around the area and put it out, and it's worked over the past couple of years at my house on an area where I don't want the snakes to come. So you might look at something like that to try.
It doesn't harm like hydrangeas or shrubs or anything?
No, it won't harm any plants, and it's strictly made for like snakes and that kind of critters that, you know, you don't want around your house and stuff. So, and it's I think it's almost like an organic type stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Also, do mothballs work? Someone recommended mothballs.
I don't know if mothballs would work for snakes.
Thanks for calling in. That is going to have to do it. We're running out of time. Gina Metzger, did you have fun?
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks for coming on for the first time. Glenn, thanks for coming back, yeah, Robinson back. Seed. And Jeannie's company is called The Garden Genie, G-E-N-I. Hopefully we'll have you on again. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.